Lord, thank you so much for your presence that's with you tonight. And we pray tonight, Lord, that we indeed learn how to draw closer to you. And that each one of us will leave here with a hunger to pursue intimacy with you. And we ask, Lord, that tonight you draw us near and then you enable us to stay near you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right. As you know, every once in a while we have a discipleship teaching where we go a little bit deeper than you can on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning you've got like 25 minutes and you've got to hit it, so you can't go deep into some of the things, and we realize there's a need for some people to go deeper. And when I was at the TCN conference a couple of weeks ago, I heard a teaching by Ramon on the intimacy with God. And just the one word that he used set off a whole chain of thought. And since then I've been thinking about this, and I thought, right, this has got to be the next topic. And I wonder how many believers actually know or understand what intimacy with God is, what it actually means. See, believers tend to think they're intimate with God because they read the Word, they pray, and they do work for the Lord every so often. But it's a lot more than that. Intimacy with God goes a lot deeper, and is actually a requirement of God. And we can't practice what we don't know. And hence the teaching, that we teach you what intimacy is so you can start practicing pursuing intimacy with God. Because God wants to be close to us, and he wants us to be close to him. But how close is close? Tonight you're going to see how close it really is. I'm going to start off with John 17, 20 to 23. And it's an extract from a prayer that Jesus is busy praying before he goes to the cross. And he prays for his disciples, and he prays for the believers. And he says in that prayer, verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone, that was the disciples, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and me are, as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. It's that you in me, me in them, that unity, that oneness, that intimacy. And Christianity is the only belief system or religion, whatever you want to call it, where the God of that religion desires this sort of relationship. In all the others, it is God and basically slave. You do what the Lord says. And in our belief, we do what the Lord says out of obedience because of love. Because we are that close to God that we know who God is. And out of our knowledge of him and the impartation of his love in us, we follow the leading of the Lord. No one else does that. You see, what they're talking about is two becoming one. And we tend to think of two becoming one in the context of a marriage only. But yeah, we see two become one, the Son and the Father and the Savior and the saved. Two becoming one. That's intimacy. However, if we're honest with ourselves, how often do we see that level of intimacy amongst believers? A lot of us are believers. We have a relationship with a Father that was through the Son empowered by the Holy Spirit. But we don't get to that deeper level when it is all about God, when it's us desperate to be in the presence of God. Most of us get hung up by doing work for God And we think because we're working for God, we're laboring for God in love, that is intimacy. And we need to be very careful that we don't run after the work of God and we miss the heart of God. Because that's what we tend to do. We labor in the church, we serve, we're out in the community doing this, and we're so busy working that we forget that we're missing the heart of God. And God wants that heart first. The relationship comes before the labor. You see, if you're doing A and B and C for God, it doesn't mean you've got an intimate relationship with Him. And you can look at Peter, and we all know Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times and cut off the soldier's ear, and the Peter who walked on the water. But let's look at Peter quickly. Before the crucifixion, Jesus takes Peter, John, and James to the garden, okay? And He says to them, stay awake with Me while I go and pray. And off Jesus goes and He prays, and He comes back and He finds the 3 of them asleep. And He says to them, could you not even stay awake with Me a while? And they're all like, okay, we're awake, Lord, we're up for You now, everything's okay. Jesus says, I'm going off to pray again. And He goes off and He prays, and He comes back and He finds them all 3 asleep again. And within that context, the Romans appear with Judas to arrest Jesus. And Peter pulls out his sword and he cuts off a soldier's ear. I wonder if he had been with Jesus, if he had been awake and by the side of Jesus, would he have acted in the flesh as opposed to acting in the spirit? You see, it's that connection, it's that closeness, it's that relationship, that intimacy that allows us to act out of the spirit. When we away from God, when we away from the things of the Lord, we tend to act in the flesh. And this is why the intimacy is so important, to stay connected so that we act out in the spirit. But let's get back to Peter and doing and this work story. You know, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. But in John, I think it's John 21, Jesus restores Peter. And He does it this way. He asks Peter the following question, Peter, do you love Me? And Peter answers, Lord, but You know I love You. And Jesus says, feed My sheep. And 3 times He asks him, Peter, do you love Me? And Peter answers, Lord, You know I love You. 3 times Jesus says, feed My sheep. It's almost as if Jesus is trying to get into the head of Peter, that the love comes before the work, the relationship before the labor. Trying to reinforce that point. We can't work ourselves into intimacy with God. We spend time with God to become intimate with Him. Once you are intimately connected with God, I feel only at that point could you be fully utilized by God, where you will become better at the work of the Lord. You'll be more effective. Because of the intimacy, you will have far better results, and it won't be a burden to you, but will be a blessing for you to do the work of the Lord. Let's just clarify something quickly. Everything we do, our entire belief, all that we think and all that we do is based on 2 principles. It's actually 2 commandments. And the one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. Okay? That is intimacy. And out of that flows the 2nd commandment. Only out of that intimacy will you be able to love others as you love yourself. You understand that. This is where we're operating from. This is where the believers are being established and rooted in those commandments. And it's from there that we develop a passion for the lost, because we've got a passion for the Savior. Okay, we understand that. So, what is intimacy? What does it actually mean? And if you go look in a thesaurus, it gives you a synonym for intimacy, and it is familiarity, it is closeness, it is an understanding. But that doesn't begin to describe what intimacy with God actually is. So what does it actually mean? In order for us to get a comprehension of the depth of intimacy, it's wise to go and look how that word is used in the scriptures, and particularly the Hebrew and the Greek words that they used for that. You see, in Hebrew, the intimacy they describe as by the word yada. It's either Y-A-D-A or Y-A-D-H, and that is found in the Old Testament only. It means to know intimately, to know intensely, to know all about. The only Greek equivalent that can be found that we see in the Gospels and the letters of Paul is the Greek word gnosko, which also is to know intimately or to know deeply. So those two speak to what God is speaking about when we discuss the term intimacy, yada or gnosko. You decide which one you want to use when you're using it. But what is it to yada? What is it to gnosko? How deep is that? Now, like I said, I heard Ramon give a message on yada, the intimacy with God. And he used an example from his life, which I phoned him and I asked him, may I use it? And he said, gladly. He met his wife, his present wife, his only wife, Natalie. He was 20 and she was 18. And when they met each other, she thought he was a hooligan and he thought she was a bit of a snob. And they didn't hit it off immediately, but later on they got to know each other and started dating one another. Back when they were dating, it was not strange, as in I think all of our lives, for couples to sleep together outside the confines of marriage. It was the norm, it was expected. But they decided to honor God and to honor each other and decided to abstain. They dated for 4 years thereafter. He repeatedly asked her father for her hand in marriage and her dad kept on refusing until one day eventually thought, okay, look, this guy's not going to go away, and he gave the yes. And he said they had this beautiful wedding. But they both knew what was coming that night. They were looking at each other while they were standing in front before the pastor, both excited but nervous, with anticipation but a little bit of fear as well. Now, Ramon had broken his leg badly in a bike accident prior to his wedding, so he was in a cast. And as a result of being in a cast, they bought him an old BMW 320 automatic. So they leave the reception, the whole time looking at each other, a little bit nervous, big eyes, a bit of sweat. You know how it gets you, like, you know what's coming. They get into the car. But now he's got his leg in a cast and it's automatic, so he's got this leg across the seat and Natalie's in the back. His bride now on their way to the honeymoon, and it starts to pour with rain. They pitch up to the place where they're going to enjoy their honeymoon, and Ramon on his crutches hobbles out to reception to fetch the key, and he gets soaking wet, and he's on his crutches back to the car. Gets in the car, says he looks around and he can see these big nervous eyes, and he's also starting to feel the pressure now, and he tries to start his car and it's nothing, it's dead. And he knows it's an old car and it's got a bit of things, it's got wiring issues and this, and he's tampering here and he's tampering there, and he says he battles for 10 minutes and nothing. The car's dead. And he hangs his head and he says he sighs. And as he sighs, he notices the gear lever is still in drive. And it won't start if it's not in park. Anyway, he gets the car started. And I now know you're dying to find out what happened. But you're not. That's private. Okay. But you see this word. Let's ask the question first. Why was there this nervousness? Why was there this anticipation between them? What is it that caused the tension? And the tension came because there was going to be a shift in their relationship. The shift was going to move to intimacy. It was a mingling of souls. It was really what they'd been waiting for 4 years, the two becoming one. And he read this quote, saying, being intimate involves the mixing of one life with another, a mingling of souls, a sharing of hearts. This is something we all long for because it's how God made us. We were designed to connect. You see, God created us for intimacy with Him. By now you should be knowing where we're going with Yada. Because the first time we encounter Yada in the scriptures is in Genesis 4 verse 1. And it says, Adam knew his wife and she bore him a son. Adam, Yada, his wife, and bore him a son. That's intimacy. And this is the word, that same word, Yada, when they talk about the relationship between us and God, they constantly refer to Yada. That is the depth. If you think I'm speaking an untruth, when the angel appeared to Mary, to tell Mary she was going to bore a son, she turned and said to the angel, but how can it, because I've never known a man. I've never gnosked a man. I never yadded a man. How can I have a son? It's that same word, that same intimacy that God desires with us. Two becoming one. Us, His beloved children, becoming one with Him. In preparing for this, I came across a brilliant teaching by Kevin Dedmon. I still don't know who Kevin Dedmon is, and it's not dead man, it's Dedmon. But he wrote on this intimacy with God and the aspects of this intimacy and God's desire to further His relationship with us, which should awaken in us a desire to have a deeper relationship with Him. And he says God desires His intimate moments. And I had to ask myself, what would these intimate moments be? How would we define an intimate moment with God? And I think it's when we come before God in complete surrender. When we come before God and we're completely honest, because we still tend to think we can hide things from God, He already knows. But when we have got the freedom to tell God our deepest, darkest secrets that He knows anyway, that honesty means there's an intimacy because it shows you can trust God. I also think it is God desires our time. When we give Him time, it's an indication of our intimacy with Him, and then obviously our love. When we can worship God, we can glorify God, we can want to spend time with God because of that love that we have for God. When we are desperate for time in God's presence, that means we're beginning to understand what it means to be intimate with God. When you're intimate with God, you tend to operate far more within the will of God. Being in the place, physically and spiritually, where God desires you to be. Unfortunately, in our human weakness, we sometimes move out of the intimacy with God because we deny the will of God and we follow our own heads. And the Bible is full of examples of men who did this, who had an intimate relationship with God, but then followed their own mind, their own thought, whatever you want to call it, and were outside the will of God. David is a classic example of this. But what made David different, he always knew how to get back. It's like once he was outside the will of God, once he was out of that intimacy with God, it seemed like he couldn't function. If you go read the Psalms, when he's in his deepest, darkest times, is when he was outside the will of God, you can see that desire to be back there. Because once you've tasted it, it's almost like you can't live without it. You need to keep on going back. In 2 Samuel 11 verse 1, we see this one account where David moves outside of the will of God. You see, in this account, it was a time of war. Okay, the kings went to war. David was a warrior king. He was appointed and anointed by God to beat the enemies of Israel and to establish that nation. But the time he should have been at war, he sends Joab out in his place. The king should have been at war, but he sends someone on his behalf. So he's outside of the will of God. He's outside of the call of God in his life. And it's during this time that David sees Bathsheba without her Sheba. And we know what happened then. When you're outside of the will of God, you fall into temptation, you get misled. And the first thing that goes is that intimacy with God. Fortunately, it's that intimacy with God that drags you back and restores you to the love of God again. And we see this happening with David. David, after this incident, wrote Psalm 51. And I just want to read you verse 10 to 12. We all know this. We quote this. But he wrote this from that place of, I desire your intimacy. I desire to be back in that place where I am yours and you are mine, to the fullness of that statement. And he writes there, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Lord, I cannot be without you. I desperately need you. I need that intimacy with you. I want to yada with my God again. That is what David is saying. But yada is also personal. And God desires to have personal encounters with us. You see, I wrote here, God wants us to have an encounter so that we become an encounter, so that others may also have an encounter. God wants us to be in that place where we are so changed, people look at us and want what we've got. That comes from time in the presence of God, that intimacy. It is having a personal encounter with God so that we become the habitation of God's Holy Spirit and it's open for everyone to see. And they see it in your eyes. Usually the first place that shows where you are with God. I recently ran into a young man who was, I'll admit that I used to envy the depth of his relationship with God, and I looked in his eyes the other day, and I thought, it's not there anymore. How could you have given it up? You see, personal encounters with God changes the way we feel, it changes the way we look, it changes the way we act, and it changes what we're able to do for God. We'll look at that now. You see, When we are the habitation of the Holy Spirit, we begin to leak the presence of God. And it might be in signs and wonders. It might be in miracles and healings and prophetic insights. It might be those things. But it's got to all be in love. Because love is what it is all about. The signs and the wonders are cool. They're all good. But it's got to all flow from love. I far rather more. In the beginning of my walk with God, I wanted to be a healer and a miracle worker and a prophet and all of these things. And all I've come to realize over the years, I want to be loved by God and I want to be God's love to other people. That is a miracle. And if believers can get to that point, the signs and wonders are bonuses if they come. If they don't, at least people are going to heaven with us one day. In the book of Habakkuk, and I know you all have read it recently and you spend copious amounts of time in Habakkuk, but in Habakkuk, Habakkuk's pouring out his heart and he's having a good old moan at God about the condition of the nation of Israel. And it's this bad and this is happening and that is happening and why is it happening? And God answers Habakkuk in 2:14. And this is God's answer to the problems that Habakkuk is raising out in society and out in the nation and in the lives of individuals. And he says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters covers the sea. And often we quote this and we say, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. But you see, intimacy with God is the knowledge of the glory. When you've got a knowledge of the glory, you're able to walk in the glory. Then it's not something you're expecting, it's something you're living from the basis of intimacy. We got to get to know God. In John 8, Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In other words, you will yada or gnosko. The truth. Intimacy will impart the truth, and then you'll be free. Free to worship God fully. Free to be fully exposed to the love of God, and free to bask in the glory of God and share His love with other people. Are you beginning to understand just what intimacy is, how deep it actually is, and what the requirements of intimacy is? Because once we know that, and once we start living that out, then the glory of the Lord is able to cover the earth and the seas. Only at that point. Until then, what is happening with God's people? We aren't carrying His presence. We aren't showing His glory because we don't have first-hand knowledge of it because we haven't experienced it yet. We've got a desire, a deeper, more meaningful walk with God. And then what about coming face to face with God? You know, Moses, we tend to say he was face to face with God, but Moses was face to face with the glory of God. But because of that encounter, because Moses went up the mountain, he got to have that experience. In Exodus 20, verse 21, it says the people chose to stay away. And because they stayed away from that face-to-face encounter, they became subject to the law and not to a relationship. It's only in the closeness with God that we can dispel the law and enter into the fullness of the relationship. Then we realize Jesus has fulfilled the law, and it's now a relationship with God through the Father, empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. If we don't do that, it will only become a religious performance. Things we're doing without that intimacy. Unfortunately, there are too many believers, Christians, in a religious mode because they lack that intimacy with God. They don't realize God's heart is to deliver us from the law and to offer us on a one-on-one invitation, a personal and a deep relationship with Him. And that is why it says in Revelation 3:20, He continually stands and He knocks, asking that the door be opened. And when we open that door and we allow God in, He opens the door and allows us into the throne room, into His presence. But that's got to have some effect. You see, being intimate with God is, it's amazing, it's awesome, and it's good, and it's great, and every believer should. But what becomes of that intimacy? You see, Adam knew Eve. Adam yadad Eve. And she became fruitful as a result and bore him a son. And God desires this intimacy with him, this yada with him, to become fruitful, and we bear him other spiritual children. Because we're enabled, because we're operating from knowledge, we're operating in the wisdom and the revelation of God, and now we're able to go in and genuinely impact the world and have people come into a lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. Not one-hit wonders who are on fire for the Messiah 1 week and dead as a doornail the next week. Because we have been to the place where God rules and God reigns. We've experienced the fullness of His glory. We can introduce other people to that place. That is called discipleship. But it comes from intimacy with God. Like I said on Sunday, you are God's plan for this world. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are it. But we can't be it until we've been intimate with God. Until we understand and we know and we love this Christ in us. And we fully become the hope of glory because we've been in His glory. If you want the glory to flow, you first got to experience it. Too many of us are giving out living water from an empty well. It's old water. It's what was. It's from our encounter when we gave our life and not from our relationship. We're supposed to be have living water flow out of us like it flowed out of Jesus because we got Christ in us and we are the hope of glory. John 15:15, Jesus says, if a man remains in me and I am him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, that's the outflow of the intimacy, the fruit. Adam knew Eve and she was fruitful. We as believers are supposed to be fruitful. Then we are fulfilling the will of God. Now I just want to bring this down a level here and just get you to understand how serious God is about this intimacy. But it's not done to scare you. It's done to awaken you. It's done to awaken a desire in you to pursue God with everything within you. In Matthew 7:21-23, and you all know this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I never gnosco'd you. I never yada'd you. Away from me. I'm glad we can say yo to something like that. Because that should not create a fear in us, but it should enable us or motivate us to really discover who our Father is, who the Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is. It should inspire you to dig deeper so you can gain the wisdom and the revelation of the Lord through an intimate relationship with Him. You see, God is placing much value on the depth of your relationship, more than you probably perceived until tonight. Some people say a sinner's prayer and they think that's it. Other people pursue signs and wonders, and that's cool. But what God wants is relationship. He wants intimacy with you, His children. I want to be like the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. I want to gnosko Christ. You see, I first want the relationship and then the power that comes from his resurrection. I want to be like Paul, where I pursue a relationship first. I get that right. I get deep with that. Because believe me, there's no elevator to intimate relationship with God. You've got to take the stairs. And the deeper you go, the stronger you become. The more you spend time with God, the more you know God, and the more intimate you become with God. There's no easy way out of this. It's investing in God on a daily basis. We've got to grow a personal relationship. We've got to encounter God. We've got to seek that face-to-face time with God. We've got to push in. We've got to be patient. We've got to create space for God to operate. We need to have the patience to wait on God. And we need to be willing to have God reveal himself to us. Often we give up too soon. We're not willing to just wait on God. We're not willing to spend time in the Word. We're not willing to stay on our face before God. We want this instant relationship because everything in the world is quick. Pursuing God is a lifelong obligation of every believer. Getting to know him and love him more each and every day. That takes commitment, people. But unfortunately, we're all human and we do life. And life has got its issues and life tends to influence our relationship. An example was used by a guy who he lived in a two-story place. And he was taking a shower upstairs and finished, got dressed and came downstairs and the whole bottom floor was full of water. He phoned a plumber and a plumber got there and what had happened is the drain had blocked and all the water from the shower flowed up through the toilet and overflowed. A whole living room full of water and the plumber traced the fault and he says, you've got roots in your pipes. I asked, but how's that possible? Is the pipe broken? Did it crack somewhere? And the plumber legitimately answered him, said, no. You see, the pipes are connected. And where they're not well connected, the roots creep in and clog the flow. And we live a life. When that connection is not tight, when we are not tight with God, the roots of life creep in. And they clog the flow of the love and the power and the glory of God. And it's our responsibility as believers to do a stock take every now and again. When you're not feeling God, when you don't have a desire to be with God, we need to check our connection. We need to check, are we connected to God still? Am I making that connection? Is my pipe clean? Is there weeds in it? Is there roots in it? What is it? Because you see, if you go look at life, we've got so many things that come against us. We've got hurt and stress and people's opinions and time constraints and agendas and we got things. But God is above all things. But then we've got to make time for God. The more time you spend in his presence, the less likely it is that flow will get blocked. If we go back to where we started, in John 17, verse 21. And we look at what God says. Intimacy. John 17, 21. You in me, Jesus, and I in you. Intimacy. That intimacy flows to people, relationship. John 17, 23. I in them and you in me equals unity. That oneness. Two have become one. It's all about relationship. It's all about us pursuing relationship. But then we've got to make sure our connections are tight. That we don't have place for other stuff in our life anymore. We can do life, but we don't have life to us because we're intimate with God. And in our time with God, we get the answer, we get the insight, we get the wisdom we need to deal with life. And then we can live life instead of have life living us, which is where most believers are. But it stems from the deep intimacy with the Father through the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Roots are going to block that flow. And you need to deal with them. Because it's going to influence your relationship with God and with others. You need to get clear tonight. Is it all about Him? Am I willing to give it all? Am I willing to have God be it all? Or do I still want to hold back? And maybe you're in a space where you feel like you've got caught up in the physical side of life and you've lost the spiritual significance that you want to have. Your relationship isn't where it should be. And you need to deal with that. Because God's heart is to have an intense, deep, intimate relationship with you. And He's not holding back. His side is clean. It's our side. We've got too many people, too many things, and not enough of Him in our life. Once you're in the fullness of a relationship with Him, those other things can come by because you can deal with them. You're wiser about them because you're intimate and He's talking to you. I believe that tonight, Jesus is looking at you. As He looked at Peter and is asking, do you love me? Only once you love Him is He going to say to you, then go feed my sheep. So how do we get intimate with God? I mentioned four things already. Complete surrender. To be honest with God, to give time for God, and to develop our love because of our relationship for God and for others. We can also look at James 4 verse 8, which says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. It's not because God has moved, but because we've been away. When we come near to God, you'll see the change in your relationship. You'll see flickers of life in areas that you thought are dead. But you got to draw near to God. And then He embraces you with the fullness of His love and His presence. And you can experience the glory of God. And you can have those intimate moments with Him. You got to build trust in God. Another point. How do you trust God? You rely on the promises of God. And you pray and you believe and you build your faith, because that's another way to be intimate with God. You see, it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. So these are the things you've got to look at. My heart is to have believers and to be one of those believers who bask in the glory of God, but I don't keep it for myself. I go and I share it. A lot of us have got knowledge of God because we've read the Word, we've studied, but do we have a revelation of God? Those things are worlds apart. That comes from intimacy. Do you love me? Ask Jesus. First be fed before you can go feed. You get fed in the intimate moments, when you're in the throne room, when you bask in His presence, and He fills you to overflowing. He loves us. And he wants his best for each one of us. And that is a yada relationship like this. And now it's up to you what you're going to do with the teaching, how you're going to change, what you're going to be like when you wake up tomorrow. I don't know who's more excited to see, God or me. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight and glorify you and give you all the honor. And also ask for forgiveness, Lord, where we've missed this. And if you've been a David, if you know better and haven't been living better, if you've been out of the will of God, if you haven't been pursuing a deep relationship with God, talk to the Lord. He's listening. You see, as you draw near to him now, while we are quiet, he's going to draw near to you. And he's already forgiven you, but he wants you to ask him to forgive you these, your sins. Lord, we also just want to ask you to help us now to inspect our pipes, Lord God, to check those connections. What have we allowed to creep in, Lord, that has affected the flow? What is it, Lord, that is holding back, holding us back, and holding your love back? Holy Spirit, show us now. And then we pray you cleanse those pipes. Thank you for tightening connections. Then we pray, Holy Spirit, that you embolden us to seek more, to not be satisfied with less than all that the Lord has to offer. I pray that you tonight, you will personally stir your hunger and you will develop a thirst for the things of God. See, we can wait on the Lord to do this, but he wants us to take that step. He wants us to draw near to him so he could draw near to us. We got to be hungry. And you got to decide tonight, I'm going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because it's in that that you will be filled to overflowing. So Lord, stir our hearts. Thank you that you are waiting upon us, Lord, to move closer to you. And thank you, Lord, that when we move closer, you are already waiting with arms wide open, that you're going to welcome us into your presence and you're going to fill us to overflowing, that we will see your countenance and feel your presence within us, Lord God. That we, Lord, will know we have been with the Most High, that you will equip us and guide us as you love us, Lord God. That you would help us, Lord, to overcome any hesitation we have in going deeper. Anything, Lord, that withholds us from your glory, you will in those moments bring to the fore. We thank you, Lord, we will be emboldened. We will have bold actions thereafter. We will strive to touch your people, Lord, but only after we've touched the hems of your robe. We give you glory, we honor your name, and we say, Lord, to you is all the glory. To you is all the glory, now and forever, Lord. Amen.